from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, we look at new regulations in Rapid City that are sparking debate around affordable housing. We'll also look at updates to the renovations of South Dakota State Capitol. All that and more here. It's Friday, December 5th. Here are today's stories. Enhanced regulations on short-term rentals, think Airbnb or Vrbo, have been adopted by Rapid City. As the state's tourism market grows, many have voiced concern about the downstream impacts on affordable housing. SDPB CJ Keen has more.
Advocates say short-term rentals provide a homier alternative to hotel stays, but those same rentals often take up houses that could be purchased by first-time homebuyers. Further, such rentals are often left vacant much of the year, especially during the tourism off-season. These new regulations will, among other things, mandate parking requirements and prevent rentals without a permit for homes with more than 5 bedrooms. They were adopted at the most recent city council meeting. However, local Airbnb operator Jennifer Verhey says her small rental doesn't need additional regulation.
Short-term rentals are already regulated by the State Department of Health. They perform an annual inspection and charge us a substantial fee for licensing. So yet another layer of local licensing isn't about safety or accountability. It's simply a money grab from the city. Short-term rentals do bring in significant revenue to the city. We pay sales tax and lodging taxes. The online platforms that bring these people together collect and remit the taxes to the state on the owner's behalf. So it's very efficient for the government to get their money in an inexpensive manner.
That mentality is not as popular among people attempting to purchase property in Rapid City. Take Rapid City resident Haley Freed. She says first-time home buying is an unattainable dream for many in the Black Hills.
With the growing number of starter homes being snatched up by already wealthy entities, the likelihood of a new family, a new couple, or even an individual being able to purchase an affordable home seems to be slipping away more and more. I understand that there's a difference between buying homes up to slap a coat of paint on and rent out for absurd amounts of money. It's much different than renting out that spare room, that in-law suite, that weird lower level that so many of these historic homes have. While many owners are responsible and caring, there are also many who are borderline slumlords that have no business owning dozens of what could be affordable properties.
This comes as the wider debate surrounding affordability across South Dakota has emerged following the governor's budget address. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rapid City.
Legislators on the Interim Appropriations Committee receive an update on restoration of the Capitol building and pier. The legislature allocated $3 million for improvements to the 115-year-old building last session. Darren Seeley is the commissioner of the Bureau of Human Resources and Administration. His department is overseeing the restorations. He says some work is already beginning.
And that's the repair of plaster throughout the halls around the chamber and up above in the gallery. Where we had water damage. Now that the roof is completed and watertight, we can fix those things, and that has started. And so we're planning for that to be done, hopefully in time for session to kick off, at least in those main areas.
Seeley says other plans for paint and plaster are being worked on as well. He says another aspect of the project is planned for after session.
And that will be a restoration and rehabilitation of the rotunda area on second floor up. So that will include repainting, new lighting, and then repairing some of the paint that is incorrect. So an example of that is the state seal when you come in from the south entrance is actually not the correct state seal. It was painted during the restoration in the 80s in preparation for the centennial, and a talented prisoner did the work, but it doesn't match our actual state seal, and so that would be replaced.
The department also plans to have a consultant conduct a full plan for the Capitol's restoration. Documents presented to the committee show that'll cost $780,000. Seeley said the building is still not up to modern electrical and plumbing codes. Every day, local National Weather Service offices around the state release weather balloons as part of a nationwide effort to get the most accurate possible readings. So accurate, in fact, Rapid City NWS meteorologist Aaron Dye can't imagine forecasting without them.
Oh gosh, I don't even know that I would dare to quantify it. When we're talking especially severe weather season, we can say that it's unstable and that we're looking at potential for severe weather. But without these balloons, that's the only way we know just how unstable or stable it is.
Sensitive instruments are tied to the base of the balloon, which is then sent into the lower atmosphere. With balloons collecting data nationwide, they provide a holistic picture of the weather. Dye says that creates the most accurate possible forecast.
Offices in the continental U.S. all release, and we release at the same time. So that way we can get, you know, a widespread view of what the atmosphere looks like. So all that gets ingested and that's used for the model data or to compare from previous model data from like 12 or 24 hours ago. That way it can adjust if it's not, you know, if what we're seeing, what we're observing is not what the models were saying. That helps those models become more accurate.
Despite lower staffing as part of federal cuts earlier this year, these releases still happen daily at every National Weather Service station. The Trump administration has announced plans to increase the 2026 NWS budget. Ellsworth Air Force Base's new runway is completed well ahead of schedule. Air Force officials held an opening ceremony this week. The $129 million project was scheduled to take 3 years. Crews completed it in just 10 months. The runway is part of a major base expansion underway to prepare for the B-21 bomber. Roughly 700 airmen were reassigned to other air bases during construction. Officials say the early completion means they can return to Ellsworth ahead of schedule. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says a nationwide effort to crack down on robocalling is starting a new phase. It's called the National Operation Robocall Roundup. It's a task force made up of attorneys general from across the country. Jackley says the task force is entering phase two. They're notifying 4 additional telecom companies to stop routing illegal robocalls through their networks. An earlier warning to dozens of smaller companies led to 13 companies no longer being able to accept call traffic. Officials say another 19 stopped routing robocalls. The Black Hills Special Services Cooperative is hosting the 2025 First LEGO League East River Qualifier tomorrow. The event is from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central at Memorial Middle School in Sioux Falls. It's free and open to the public. The event brings together over 140 children 9 to 14 years old across the region. That's for a day of robotics challenges, teamwork, and creative problem solving. Teams will showcase their work. Specifically, they've learned how to design, build, and program autonomous LEGO robots capable of completing mission-based tasks in timed rounds. Teams will also present research projects. Drought conditions across the state have remained stable over the past month. The latest South Dakota Drought Monitor shows just over half the state isn't facing dry conditions. Southern and eastern parts of the state are abnormally dry. The southeastern corner of the state, ranging from Sioux Falls to Yankton, is facing the worst conditions. That area is rated as seeing, quote, moderate drought. These ratings are relatively unchanged since the end of October. State legislators look into forcing the Department of Social Services to release millions of opioid settlement dollars. It comes after pressure from the Attorney General's office. At the final Legislative Appropriations Committee meeting of the interim session, lawmakers heard from both the Attorney General's office and DSS on the opioid settlement dollars. The funds come from multiple settlements with opioid drug makers. According to the DSS opioid settlement dashboard, the state's expecting to receive just under $99 million in settlement funds through 2038. Of that, 70% goes to the state and 30% is shared locally. The dashboard said the state has received $23 million as of October. It also shows that DSS has given out $8 million in actual expenditures of the state's share and committed nearly $4 million. The rest of the funds are unallocated. The department has received scrutiny for not dispersing the money immediately, including from Senate pro tempore Chris Carr. The funds are administered by the department. By statute, they're overseen by the State Opioid Advisory Committee. Attorney General Marty Jackley cautioned appropriators against using the funds for an endowment after they asked if there was a way to make the dollars stretch further.
We've done that before, like with the cement plant sale and other things, which were good ideas at the time, but because of the urgency of the drug epidemic, I think these dollars need to go out now.
Jackley says the settlement dollars are structured to constrain certain uses.
Putting in an endowment is considered a disfavored use, which would mean I would have to come in and make arguments to avoid losing a percentage of it if you put it in an endowment.
Jackley told appropriators the settlement dollars are already built in to spread out over time. Matt Althoff is the DSS secretary, and he spoke before the Interim Appropriations Committee. He said the department's goal is not to withhold the funds or establish an endowment.
It is not in the mind, in the heart of the department to create an endowment. This has been brought up many times. It is absolutely the mind and the heart of the department who works every single day, particularly with the income qualified in our state, to get them over barriers, namely substance addiction, and wanting them to be lifted up through our efforts. It is not in our desires in the least, it's not in our DNA to squirrel away the money. It is in our desire to put that money to work, to impact gaps that exist today so that not one more person falls victim to the scourge of opioid misuse in our state.
The department recently announced plans to alter the settlement grant structure to a three-tiered system. Resource funding for up to $5,000, organizational projects for up to $50,000, and transformative projects for over $50,000. Some grants are still under review. Althoff said he hopes that transformative grants can be used to fill large gaps in treatment and other areas around opioid and substance addiction to create long-term change. Althoff told the department he's using past experience to propel his line of thinking.
The department recently went through an episode where we awarded a lot of grants, COVID money grants, to childcare providers. And, you know, we learned a lot from that, is that we really want to build sustainable gap fillers. We don't want to just plug slots and throw money at a problem just because somebody can articulate a compelling grant application. We really want to test that, kick the tires, make sure they actually have a business plan that is going to be sustainable.
Critics have said that approach is too long-term. That includes A.G. Jackley.
I don't want to wait till March to start reviewing proposals. I think we have an epidemic now.
He went on, telling appropriators it really boils down to two options for the legislature.
I don't say that being critical of the DSS approach. I think it's great that they've begun moving forward in this fashion. I just think because of what we're facing in South Dakota, the time is now. And you can put an influx with the local share and everything at $99 million. You can hit this problem with the sledgehammer, or you can tap dance down a couple years. These dollars have been available, really, $22 million came in 2024.
Jackley previously advocated giving the funds to Sioux Falls and Rapid City for disbursement of block grants. That would include a request for proposal process, which is something Jackley said creates transparency and protects from fraud and abuse. Representative Liz May is on the Appropriations Committee. She expressed her support for getting the dollars out now.
Let me emphasize, maybe stronger than what the Attorney General is. No, this isn't just kind of a crisis. This is make or break. This isn't just poor people. This is every walk of life. It is destroying my family. It is destroying your families. It's got to stop.
The legislature spoke of two options for getting the opioid settlement dollars out. The first is to work with DSS to get the funds out now. Jackley recommended that avenue. The second is to pass a special appropriation during session, which would require DSS to disperse the funds. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.